All right. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, children's people that are taking those kiddos back. All right. Let's, I'm going to be in a lot of different places in the Bible today. Really, the first is Genesis chapter 2. The title of the message is God sovereign over judgment? Is God sovereign over judgment? In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, we got the PowerPoint up back there? All right, there we go. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, it's written, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for your mercy. We're thankful that, God, we know for those of us that are in you, your word says, all things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Lord, I know that to be true with every fiber of my being. I pray, God, that you will help others to see that clearly. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will work and move in us today as we consider some of the severity of your word and what that means to a world around us. Help us today, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we have, I believe, what will be a message of judgment, but also a message of hope. I think it would have probably been silly for me not to preach concerning the times that we're living in right now. For many in the world, these are very uncertain times. We have not seen something like this, most of us, probably in our entire lifetime. But we have a clear message for the world and even for ourselves that God is angry with sin every day. Every day. But that God has made a way of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. This virus that is clearly spreading throughout the earth should be a wake-up call for all men. I don't want you to take this the wrong way, as if I'm saying that God is simply just against the people of the earth, or that we in here are better than those who do not trust in Christ. I believe we must receive this with humility and asking God what it is that we should turn from and what we should learn. Our response in any situation that comes up in life should be the response of repentance. If you just take Job, for example, Job was a righteous man. Matter of fact, he was the best man on the earth. When people read the book of Job, they think the book of Job is a book about overcoming trials that come your way. But that's really not the main message of the book. The main message of the book is the message of repentance. That God took a man in which he loved greatly. Matter of fact, a man that he saw as a great example for the world and even for Satan himself. He took that great man and he brought him to a point of repentance. God did not send those trials Job's way because Job had sinned. God sent them to him that he may be glorified. Sometimes God sends trials to the earth to test and purify his people. Sometimes he sends them to judge sinful people, as we must admit that we are as well. But always it seems that the judgments are sent with a desire from God that people will turn toward him. Sometimes God sends a judgment or a trial someone's way simply to bring glory to himself, as was the case of the man that was born blind. Maybe it's a combination of all of these things at times. I do not fully understand the mind of God nor the ways of God. They are both higher than mine. We should never claim to speak for God in ways that we are not certain. We cannot say this happened because of this or this because of this unless God has clearly revealed these things. I just know that in all of this, we have a message for the world. God hates sin, and the consequences of sin is death. But God sent His Son so that you might live. That's the message. Now I want us to consider this morning how God has worked in various ways at various times throughout history, as we see in the Bible. I'll only share a portion of these things because there's so many, I just wouldn't have the time. But most of you don't have anything going on, so we really could just sit here for a while, right? I'm just saying, okay? I mean, if you want me to go on and on, when I start getting to the end, say, preacher, preach some more, okay? Y'all know how to do that. Say, preacher, keep on preaching. And then I'll just, yes, Mama! Y'all get on to Tommy when it's all said and done. The first thing I want us to see is that God cursed man with death. All right? Every man will die. This is a fact. Consider Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 7. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. Now, in the opening verse, I shared with you that God had said, don't eat from that tree. In the day that you eat, you will surely die. The woman saw the tree. She liked what she saw. It promised her things. Promised her that she would be like God. There would be wisdom. She took and she ate. She gave to her husband. And he too, who got the commandment from God, he took and he ate. This is the consequences for man. A few verses later in verse 17 of chapter 3. God is speaking to Adam and it says, and to Adam He said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. People struggle with the idea of death. They struggle in the Bible where God sends plagues or sends a nation in to destroy other nations with war or famine or whatever it may be. But the simple fact of the matter is, in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis, God promised that all people would die. That's the promise. Because that's the curse. This is a direct result of the sin, of the sinful actions of Adam. And so it passes down throughout all generations. Some will die young. Some will die very old, of a good ripe age, of just natural causes. Some will be murdered. Some will be killed in war. Some will get sick and die. All men will die. As we continue considering this, how sin brings about death, we have to think about the flood, right? If you follow on in Genesis chapter 6, we see that God sends a flood that destroys almost every living creature. In chapter 6, verse 11 through 13, it says the earth was corrupt in God's sight. The earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, I am creating for you a narrative that we see throughout the Bible. I'm showing you some very important things that have happened. You need to understand this, and you need to help other people understand this. For the most part, people don't know that God is so angry with sin that He'll put an end to people's lives because of it. You don't hear this on TV. Ever since this started getting serious, I believe God has been leading me in this direction to consider these things. Throughout the week, God is bringing to my mind all of the ways in which He's judged people on the earth for their sinful actions. And when it comes to the flood, to the whole Noah's Ark thing, we kind of like Noah's Ark, right? It was a nice boat with a bunch of animals. It's like a zoo. It's like a trip to the zoo. But it's not. It was a time where millions were killed by God as a result of their sinful actions. But Noah found favor in God's eyes. We see that in verse 8. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God has great anger towards sin, but God also has great mercy toward those who will humble themselves before Him. Now, we know what happened. He promised He would send the flood. A few verses later, we see it happen. This is not a nice section of the Bible. Genesis chapter 6, verses 21 through 23, it's the most... I would say it's the bloodiest section in the whole Bible. It's the saddest thing almost in the whole Bible. I guess except in the end when all people are judged. But look at this, verse 21. All flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. Let me tell you, the world around us is just like in the days of Noah. Jesus promised us this. I'm not this crazy fundamentalist backwoods Baptist preacher. Okay, I am from the backwoods, but that I'll give you that part. But the rest is not true of me. We just read the Bible. We say how it is. Jesus Himself said it will be like in the days of Noah when He returns. People will be giving and taking in marriage and buying and selling. They'll think everything's fine, and then the flood came and swept them all up. And I'm using this virus as an opportunity to warn you, to warn other people that the time could be coming. I don't know. It may be 100 years from now. But the fact of the matter remains, we're all one heartbeat away from being confronted with God. And we need to be in the ark. You know, the ark is a picture of Christ. We need to be in the ark. We need to be in Christ. So when the bad time comes for us, we are protected. God hates sin. But God made a way through Jesus Christ. I got another example of how God judged a group of people on the earth. In Exodus chapter 9, we see that God is sending a plague upon Egypt. They have kept the people of Israel in bondage, in slavery, and God is not happy with them. And he says this to Pharaoh. In chapter 9 of Exodus, verse 14 through 16, "For this time I will send all my plagues on you yourself, and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you all and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." Woo! Listen to this. Look what's happening. God sends 10 plagues their way. Blood in the rivers, frogs everywhere, lice or gnats, flies, livestock dying, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, the death of the firstborn. And all of these had a connection to the false gods in Egypt that they worshipped and served. And God's showing, I'm in control of these things, not these false gods that cannot speak. And God delivers his people. But if you notice, one of the purposes in delivering his people, besides keeping his promise to Abraham, one of his purposes was to show the king of Egypt, and Egypt was the great power empire at the time, and to show the people of Egypt and all the people around that God is God. That Yahweh is God. This is his purpose. He said, I could have just got rid of you. I could have just let you all die. But you see what he's saying? He's sending the plagues in kindness. Because we don't answer to God being nice. Think about it. How about it with your kids? All right? You're nice to your kids. You're nice to your kids. You tell your kids, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. You're nice to your kids. They don't listen. They don't. That doesn't happen in my home. But I've heard some people in this church tell me that this happens in their homes. Okay? Because I got control over my... Okay. You can believe that. All right. You're nice. You're nice. They don't listen. You pull out that belt or that paddle, or heaven forbid, you take away that phone. Their ears perk up. They listen. They respectful. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Oh, you want me to do that? Would you like me to take your plate? Would you like me to throw this away? You start putting a little judgment down. People start acting better. We're the same way. You know, we never grow up. Kids, just know your parents are the same way with God. We don't listen to him until he puts a little pressure on us. God sent the plagues to Egypt to deliver his people, but mainly to proclaim his name throughout the whole earth, that he is God and he's in control. And that people need to turn to him. It's amazing to see that God loved Egypt enough to judge them, so they would see who he is. And when the people of Israel left there, the people of Egypt were real good to them. They were giving them things. Once the people of Egypt get into the wilderness, it's like they forgot what God had done for them. They began to complain. They began to murmur. And they began to do what they wanted to do. They made a false god to worship. They did this, they did that, they complained all the time. And in the book of Numbers, we have another situation where God sends serpents upon his people that he had chosen out of the land of Egypt. He sent serpents to them as judgment for their behavior. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 6. Says the people became impatient on the way, and they spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Now, they just got impatient and hungry, and they began to complain. It didn't say that they were worshiping other idols here, or that they murdered anybody, or that they were sexually immoral. They got impatient. I think about this right down the road. My kids get a little hungry and they want to go eat. I tell them to wait. God says, okay, you're going to speak against me? This is what I'm going to do. Verse 6 says, then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. Now, you may think that was harsh. I don't know. Maybe I think it's a little harsh. But I want you to see there's a pattern with God here. He doesn't put up with our sin forever. If this nation that he called out to be called by his name was not immune to his judgments, are the people that will not bow to Jesus immune to his judgments? Even later, God would send nations into Israel to bother them and to disrupt their life, to turn them back to him. If you read the book of Judges, you see this is what Judges is about. They kind of began to do their own thing. Began to go their own way after Joshua died. That great group of people that Joshua led to conquer Canaan. They got a lot of it done, but that next generation, they left the job undone. Notice this. In Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, it says, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Now that's a false god. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. This is the point I'm making. When a nation gets away from God, God sends judgment their way every single time. Every time. God is in charge of the nations, but he won't let them run amok. There's a lot of bad nations out there. And at some point, God has enough. If you really, I don't know how long each people get that problem, but just think about this. The land of Canaan, God was not happy with them when he sent Abraham in there. Then he waited 400 more years. He said, their sin is not overflowing yet to Abraham. I'm not going to judge them yet. But after 400 years, he sent the people of Israel into Canaan to wipe all of them out. Because they were so sinful. You know what they did? One of the biggest gods that they served was a god named Moloch. You know what they did for that god? They took their babies. They walked up on these altars, threw them in fire, and killed them. They killed their babies, sacrificing them to the god of Moloch. And people get so mad that God sent the people of Israel in to destroy Jericho and all the Canaanites. God had had enough. He'd had enough. God sends nations to judge other nations. He sends famines to judge nations. Even his own nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 1 says, For behold, the Lord God of hosts is taking away from Jerusalem and from Judah support and supply, all support of bread and all support of water. God brought a famine. Jeremiah chapter 24 verse 10, he says, I will send sword, famine, and pestilence among them until they shall be utterly destroyed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers. The fact of the matter is this. We are a sinful people that live in a sinful world. And if God has worked like this, the examples that I'm showing you, and this is just a few, okay? You read your Bibles, you look. God is not okay with sin. It cost his son his life to pay for our sin. He's not okay with it. If God has worked like this throughout history, why would we think that God would all of a sudden change in our day now that we've become a little more sophisticated, a little more educated? Why do we think that in this day and time we may be immune to the judgment of God? All over the earth, people have denied that God is the Creator. Instead, we are asserting as a truth a theory with little honest proof and zero firsthand knowledge that all things came out of nothing and we evolved from that. Abortions are happening at an alarming rate all over the world. We're sacrificing our babies to the god of Moloch. To the god Moloch. Do you know that every year, right now, all over the world, worldwide, 56 million abortions are committed. That right there is enough for God to just take us all out. 56 million little babies killed. I was watching the news and I saw, you know, in China, they all want to have a boy, right? They just want to have a boy, so they'll kill the little girls. They'll find out that they're having a girl, and then they'll just abort it or kill it later or whatever. I saw a video of them shutting down that temporary hospital over there after all that good work had been done to help cure people of coronavirus. And they walked through all of these people that were helping. And I'm telling you, it was like 30 of them. They were walking down with a video and they would take their masks down and they were all Chinese women. These women that country has been murdering, the few that have remained have helped stop a pestilence from running amok in the country. 56 million. Throughout the world, we see it on TV, there's an overall lack of kindness amongst people. We see greediness in this world is increased to unimaginable levels while poor people starve. There are people with literally hundreds of billions of dollars and some people that can't even get clean water. Murders are committed every day, even in this country. In 2018, 16,000 people were killed. And in 2018, Louisiana had the highest rate of murder in the country per person. There is a constant flow of bearing false witness against each other. Sexual immorality with men and women and young people in and out of the church being addicted to pornography, having sex before marriage, people living with multiple partners. People giving in to the sin of homosexuality when God has clearly called it an abomination. And then many churches embracing it as if it were right and okay to do as an act of compassion to people. It's okay if you love the person. But it is never a compassion to embrace a person's sin. You will only make them more comfortable in it. I am a big time sinner. Don't pat me on the back and tell me it's okay. I don't need to hear that. Don't tell me God loves you, Avery, just the way you are. It's not true. He does not love me the way that I am. That is a foolish thing to say. God loves you just how you are. Do you think God loves my pride? You think He loves it when I lust? You think God loves it when I'm apathetic or greedy? I don't think God likes it when I misconstrue the truth a little bit. God does not like these things. Don't pat me on the back and tell me it's okay, just like all the rest of us. I know y'all are all bad sinners too. Just like me. That's why we get along probably so far. His Spirit is working in us to conform us to the image of His Son. I don't want us to minimize what God may be doing in this world. I don't want us to say, like we see many saying, that we'll overcome this. We're a tough nation. We can handle it. We can do it. We've been through a lot. No, we can do nothing. Only God can do these things. God has promised to send judgment upon this earth. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." That's from the Bible. Chapter 1, verse 18 of Romans. When it says it is revealed, it means, that word is actually, it means it's uncovered. It's shown. And it's in the present tense. It's being revealed even today. We've been preaching, looking through the book of Revelation on Sunday nights. You should come. It's a hoot, okay? Some people don't agree with me about a few of the things that are happening in there, and I don't agree with them, and we just love each other. I'm thinking about Tony and me, and it's all right. No, he's coming around. He's seeing that I'm right, finally. It's amazing, you know? But in there, we do see this, no matter what your view of it is, we do see there's judgment coming. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls of wrath. And in all of that, we see God sending conquest, He's sending war, He's sending famine, He's sending pestilence to judge the nations. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 through 8, says, "When He opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, 'Come.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death. And Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth." During the judgments of God on the earth, sometimes it would affect a fourth of the people, a third of the people. Sometimes all people are affected by them. Whatever your view, God is judging. There have been pandemics throughout the history of the world. Some that have killed thousands. Some that have just killed hundreds of thousands. And some that have killed up to 25 million people. Pandemics that have killed 25 million people. And we think God is oblivious to these things? If you think God is oblivious, I'm not saying I know why God sends what He sends. All I know is that God is in charge. I don't have this in our notes. But in Jeremiah 18, I shared this with our Wednesday night crew. Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. And God wanted to show Jeremiah that He can do what He wants to do, just like the potter can do what he wants to do with the clay. It says in verse 5 of chapter 18, after he watched the potter do what the potter wanted to do, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel. Can I not do with you as the potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare," listen now, this is so clear. "If any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Now therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one of you from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds." I feel compelled to share with you so that you can share with others that God sends calamities. It's not just life happening. It's not an accident. It's not out of God's control. I can't tell you why. I can just tell you he hates sin and he wants us to turn to Jesus. That's all I know. Sadly, will not respond. Now I'm closing. Most people will not respond. Revelation chapter 9 verse 20 says, "The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works, of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immoralities or their thefts." Verse 11 of chapter 16 says, "They did not repent of their deeds." For some people, it won't matter what God sends to warn them. They just won't listen. But some will. Most of you have listened. You've heard God's call. You've heard His word. You believe what He has to say. So we don't live in fear. Even though death might be around the corner for us, living in fear is not an option for the Christian. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" You see, God in His kindness sent His Son Jesus Christ to pay for our sins. His anger towards sin was shown in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I close with this verse. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Concerning what God did to His Son, Jesus. So you can live in hope and in freedom if the whole world is burning down. Like it could just be burning down and you just... All is good because surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. God has been good to the world. He's offering free salvation. But a person must turn from their sins and they must trust in Christ, or they'll be swept up in the flood. Swept up in the flood into eternal hell and torment. And these viruses and epidemics and things that happen on the earth will seem like small potatoes compared to what God has in store for those who reject Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we do indeed thank You. Lord, I do confess I am no better than any person on the earth. Not even close. Lord, I do not want to give this message in pride and boastfulness, only in sorrow and in hope and in humility. Thanking You, Lord Jesus, that You gave Your life in my place. And I'm thankful that You revealed to me the truth of the gospel, that You have died for my sins. And God, that You gave me the faith to believe it. We pray, God, that we can take this message to other people. If, Lord, there's a person in this room that has never trusted in You and turned from their sins, God, may they do that. See Your hand at work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.